Continuing my sermon series on the top 40 stories of the Bible, this morning we're looking at the Ten Commandments as they come to us from the book of Exodus. And in fact, both readings are from Exodus. I'm just sort of splitting that scripture reading up. So please join me as I read from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, as God sort of defines his relationship with us and our relationship with him. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, if any of you have any doubts about how wacky the world is today, I'd like to share with you a list of actual label instructions found on some consumer products. This is on a Sears hair dryer. Do not use while sleeping. I didn't know that was possible. This is on Boots children's cough medicine. Do not drive car or operate machinery. Who knew? This seems obvious on a Swedish chainsaw. Do not attempt to stop the chain with your hands. On an American Airlines package of peanuts. Instructions, open packet, eat nuts. Seems pretty clear to me. On a Conair steam iron, do not iron clothes while on body. I've never tried that. That sounds like a bad idea. You moms will appreciate this. On a Century baby stroller, remove child before folding. On a child's Superman costume, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. And my favorite, on a toilet brush, do not use for personal hygiene. Well, this all seems kind of silly. I mean, to have these kinds of instructions or rules for us to follow. Well, there's really nothing silly about God's law or the Ten Commandments. So I would invite you to join with me as I continue reading the list of commandments 5 through 10 as God now sweeps his hand downward and shares with us how we are to be with one another. Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 through 21. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let the God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, we have so many choices to make in our world today. We have so many different options in life that sometimes it can seem downright confusing. We want to do what is right, but sometimes we can't see clearly or arrive at a good decision. Thank you for giving us the commandments in your word to help us in our thinking, saying, and doing. May they guide our choices so that we may do your will in every aspect of our lives. And it's through Jesus Christ that we pray these things. Amen. There was a guy who was arrested a while back for a string of 8 robberies in Minnesota. His last name was Mortland, but that's not really important because he got tagged with a nickname during his crime spree. They called him the Rolaids Robber. Apparently, while he was robbing these stores, he would ask the store clerks to include a pack of Rolaids in acid tablets. And when they would ask him why, he said the stress of robbing stores was getting to him. Well, God did not give us the 2 tablets of the 10 commandments to stress us out, but God gave us these laws for living a life of dedication, devotion, and faithfulness. Now, I have a feeling I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, oh no, I know what this is going to be about. John's going to go on this rant about the moral decay in America. Here comes a sermon about a dreary old list of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. Reminds me of an old episode from the TV show The Rockford Files. Private Eye Jim Rockford says to an overly aggressive police officer, "I breathed your air, Lieutenant, and it smells like dirty socks." Let me ask you, is that your view of God? I think many of us have a narrow view of God, and we think that God does not want us to have any fun at all. And so we create lists in our minds of the things that we think we created, and then there's another list of the things that we think God created. For example, God created spinach, liver and onions, income tax, root canal, kidney stones, and Christmas with your mother-in-law. But then while God was taking a nice long nap, we snuck out late one night and we invented ice cream, Milano double dark chocolate cookies, vacations at the beach, 75 mile per hour speed limits, and no snow in the winter. Fact is, God is not a cosmic killjoy whose rules are designed to ruin every party. God created everything that we enjoy, and God created the law, believe it or not, for our enjoyment as well. You know, without rules, you can't have football, for example. And every year in the NFL, there are controversial calls that often determine the outcome of a game. One of my favorite commercials from several years back was IBM's You Make the Call.
IBM presents You Make the Call. Vince Ferragamo of the Rams passes to tight end Mike Barber, who touches the knee down at the 2 and stretches his arms and hands as far as possible to the goal line. Now you make the call. Is this a touchdown? What call did you make? The ball should be spotted at the position the ball occupies when the runner's knee touches the ground. Spot the ball at the 1-yard line.
We sports fans love our rules. If there are no rules, then there really can't be any football or basketball or hockey or pickleball or even Candy Crush on your phone, which I hope you're not playing right now. What would happen if you pulled out onto 272 after church today and there were no rules of the road? It's already pretty scary and dangerous out there, right? So from children playing duck, duck, goose to our youth playing a nine square in the air on Sunday afternoons to adults playing Scrabble to the Supreme Court interpreting the Constitution, rules and law is a gift of love. And this is the context in which God gives the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. Now, in order to understand the law, we first have to understand something of the nature and character of the lawgiver. So, does God suddenly just lean out of heaven and zap Moses with the Ten Commandments? No. It starts before that. It actually starts all the way back in Genesis. Remember, that covenant was first made with Abraham. When God promised Abraham that his descendants would number the stars in the sky. And then later, the children of Israel went to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And we know how Pharaoh enslaved those people and reduced them to nothing more than earth-moving equipment to build his buildings and pyramids until along came this great leader by the name of Moses. And we love the story. We talked about this a couple weeks ago of how Moses sprung the people loose and led them on that famous chase scene across the Red Sea. All of this is recorded in Genesis and in Exodus. And now Moses comes down from Mount Sinai holding the law of God. Moses comes down from the mountain holding under his arms the path to true freedom. In the Ten Commandments, God gives us directions on what it's going to look like for us to live as his people. You see, the commandments are all about a life of intimacy with God. Dr. Philip Ryken is the president of Wheaton College. He says the commandments are not given as a way of, quote, getting right with God, but rather as a way of pleasing the God who has made us right with him. The problem, I think, is that we have this love-hate relationship with the Ten Commandments. We love the law because it ensures our worth and our value. The law protects us from injustice, from anarchy, from troublemakers. Suppose, for instance, you're driving late one night, you develop some car trouble, and you're forced to pull over under the shoulder of the road. And in your rearview mirror, you see a car mysteriously slow down and pull up right behind you. Out of this car steps four thugs holding chains and baseball bats, and they start walking toward you. But just then, a Pennsylvania State Trooper sees the whole thing, does a spinorama, and you see those beautiful flashing red and blue lights pull onto the scene. You exhale, breathe a sigh of relief. You're safe and sound, and you give three cheers for the men in blue. And you're ready to get your checkbook out and write a donation to the police pension fund. Why? Because the law protects us from people with bad habits and bad intentions. Now, here's something that's not so pleasant. I was driving home late one night from my sister's house in West Lampeter. I was sitting at a traffic light, waiting for it to turn, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting for that light to turn from red to green. Well, it wouldn't change. I didn't want to go straight through the intersection. That seemed rather dangerous. And so I made this illegal right turn on red. It was raining. It was late. It was dark, there was no one around. I just didn't think anything of it. Well, wouldn't you know it? Right over at the Turkey Hill was a police car sitting in the parking lot. And as soon as I made that turn, that police car pulled right behind me. And then I got that sick feeling in my stomach when I saw those hideous flashing red and blue lights. A stern lecture? a ticket, and a court date appearance later, let's just say I was not a happy camper. I was miffed, and I was not in any kind of mood to give any cheers for the men in blue, and so much for any donation to the police pension fund. We love the law when it protects us from lawbreakers, but we hate the law when we are the lawbreakers. So then, is the problem with the law or with us? G.K. Chesterton, the Christian writer, once wrote a letter to a magazine in which he said, "As to your question, what's wrong with the world? I am. Sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." If we are to be honest, and I mean really honest, we have to admit that the problem is with us and within our hearts. Friends, God gives his law for our sake. Now, in our house, we had certain rules in the family. For example, Daddy was the one who always held the TV remote control. That was the rule. Another was nobody started eating until everyone was seated at the table and we had prayed first. I also told my kids, don't even think about going to a party where alcohol is going to be served. Well, the Ten Commandments are laws for the sake of the people. Laws that we need so that we can successfully navigate our way through life. I'd like for you to listen to a portion of a commencement speech at Duke University's graduation from several years ago. The speaker said, "We've actually convinced ourselves that slogans will save us. Shoot up if you must, but use a clean needle. Enjoy sex, whatever, and with whomever you would, but use a condom." Then the speaker said, "No, the answer is no. Not because it isn't cool or smart, or because you might end up in jail or dying in an AIDS ward, but no, because it is wrong." The speaker went on, "What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not 10 suggestions. They are commandments, are, not were. The sheer beauty of the commandments is that they codify in a handful of words acceptable human behavior, not just for then or now, but for all time." And then he concluded, "Language evolves. Power shifts from nation to nation. Messages are transmitted with the speed of light. Man erases one frontier after another. And yet we and our behavior and the commandments that govern them remain the same." Sounds like something Billy Graham would say, right? How about Ted Koppel of ABC News Nightline? God says there's one God, and it's me. And I have 10 things to say to you. Now, why 10? Of course, there's all kinds of jokes about that. One that I found has Moses coming down from Mount Sinai after talking with God and says, "Listen up, people. I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is we got them down to 10. The bad news is we lost on murder." The Bible does not call these the 10 commandments. In Hebrew, they're called the 10 words. So it may have been that those nomads out in the wilderness, that a form of the Ten Commandments was simply 10 words with the word no in front of it. No idols, no murder, no adultery, no lying, no stealing. How many fingers do we have? And so one of the reasons why God may have given Israel the Ten Commandments is because God also gave those tribesmen 10 fingers with those 10 simple words. An Israelite was able to connect each of the commandments with one of his fingers. So that always before that tribesman, no matter where he was or what he was doing, he would know how God wanted the people to live. Well, you and I still have 10 fingers, and we still need those commandments. The first one is so basic that you can basically put it on the thumb of your right hand. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Or, as the first sentence of the Scots Confession of 1560 from our Presbyterian Church's Book of Confession says, "We confess and acknowledge one God, to whom only we must cleave, whom only we must serve, whom only we must worship, and in whom only we must put our trust." Now, what's interesting to me is that if you think about it, behind every one of the negatives of the commandments, there is a glorious virtue. The Ten Commandments could just as easily be called 10 rules for right living. In fact, even in the preamble to the commandments, God starts out with a positive. It says in verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. The law begins with redemption. The law begins with good news. Law and grace are not mutually exclusive, but they are brought together. The law of God begins by reminding Israel that God alone is Israel's salvation. And even before the law was actually given, God had already graciously acted on their behalf. God is the one who redeemed them, and God is the source of all of their hopes and dreams. As I close, let me give you another way of thinking about how God is speaking to us in these commandments. God says, I, your creator, am here for you. You don't need to put any cheap substitute for me up on a pedestal. God says, I give you my name. Call me anytime, day or night. Only treasure my name and don't use it recklessly. God says, I give you the Sabbath as a way of affirming my gracious gift of rest for you. God says, I have made all humans to be sacred. Treasure my beloved creation. Preserve and protect all life. Red, yellow, black, white, all are precious in my sight. God says, I have given you marriage as a mystery of intimacy and love. And so cherish that mystery. These are the positive, these are the glorious virtues that God gives to us in the commandments. Now, to be fair, one of the struggles we have is that the commandments come from an authority figure. See, we don't get to negotiate with God as to what is good and what is out of bounds. This is not like going to a dealership and haggling over the price of a car. The God of the universe says, listen, this is how it's going to be, period. Get used to it. But let's be honest, we don't like authority figures, do we? You look around the country today and there's all kinds of rebellion going on against authority figures. But let me ask you a question. When your computer crashes suddenly and unexpectedly and isn't working, what's the first thing you do? If it's me, get my car and I make a beeline down to the Apple store at Park City Mall. I need to talk to an authority figure in order to get my computer fixed. And friends, what that Apple rep at the Genius Bar does for me technologically, God does for us spiritually. God uses the law to put us back together again, to put us back on the path, stronger, better, and more faithful than ever before. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and watches out for us. You respect us so much that you hold us accountable to a standard of behavior that reflects your own image and character. We thank you for your divine law that is revealed in your word. And we thank you for laying out your law as a path for us to follow, a path that leads to fulfillment, to success, to joy, and to freedom in life. But Lord, we confess that all of us have at some point stepped off the path. We've fallen into the ditch alongside the road. We do find comfort in knowing that you're not just the lawgiver, but that you're also a good shepherd, a shepherd who leads, guides, encourages, walks beside us, and yes, even saves us and restores us. Help us to get back on the path to follow the way of your law, so that we might live a life of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you that the law brings us to Jesus so that we can live and be free as people. And we pray these things in the strong and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.